Are we ready?
Ready. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
I'd like to call all of the Town of Brule regular meeting April 9th, 2018. Mr. Daigle, could you lead us in the pledge, please?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Blaine, can you do roll call, please?
Councilmember Daigle.
Here.
Councilmember Bourgeois.
Here.
Councilmember Richard.
Here.
Councilmember Andre.
Here.
Councilmember Niesler.
Here.
Attorney Acosta.
Here.
Mayor Rhodes.
Here. First thing on the agenda, we have our minutes in your package. Without any changes, anybody have any changes on the minutes?
I so move, except.
Got a move by Ms. Bourgeois. Second by Mr. Andre. Any comment from the audience? Any comment from the council? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Ayes have it. All right, committee reports. Finance Committee, consider annual audit ending June 30th, 2017. Ms. Christy Dunn from our audit firm will present that to us.
Hi, you guys have the audit package in front of you. It's the cream colored, the thick document. That is your audit report for June 30th, 2017. It is for the year ended, like I said, it was 9 months ago. This was somewhat delayed in being issued. If you will flip to the auditor's report, which is the first letter here, for this year, we have issued two separate opinions. We've issued a qualified opinion on your governmental activities and your general fund activities. And qualified opinion is the next paragraph tells you why we issued the qualified opinion, and that was because we had a situation where we could not become comfortable with your fine revenue, and therefore we could not opine on that set of financial statements. We did issue an unmodified opinion on your business type activities, which is your proprietary fund or your sewer fund. We had no issues with that fund, so we went ahead and issued an unmodified opinion on that fund. If you will flip to page 10 of the financial statements, the first few pages that I'm having you guys skip is what's called government-wide financial statements, and that gives you, that includes the pension accruals and a few other accruals that aren't necessarily indicative of the situation of the city, of the town. So I thought we'd just look at the fund financial statements. Page 10 are your governmental funds, which is your general fund. You can see that your cash and cash equivalents were roughly $2.4 million at June 30th. You had investments as well as some other revenues and other receivables, so your total assets were $3.1 million. Your liabilities for the year were $67,000, which puts you in a good fund balance position of $3.044 million. If you flip to skip page 11 and flip to page 12. That is your statement of revenues, expenditures, and changes in fund balance, which is similar to an income statement in a business. This shows you again for your general fund, you had revenues of $2.8 million. You had expenditures of $2.3 million. So you had an excess of revenues over expenditures of almost $502,000. Do any of you have any questions yet? I know I'm kind of going fast. So this is the general fund. I'll move to the sewer fund or the proprietary fund next. Okay, so we'll go to page 14. Page 14 is your proprietary fund. Here you had cash of about $22,000. You had your largest asset, of course, is your capital assets of almost $1.4 million. So your total assets are $1.5 million. You have $215,000 of liabilities, and then you have bonds payable net of the bond discount of $647,000. So your total liabilities are $862,000, which puts you in a net position of $667,000 at year end. If we move to page 15, this is your income statement or your schedule of revenues, expenditures, and changes in net position. Your charges for services were $290,000. Your operating expenses were $328,000. So you had an operating loss of roughly $38,000. You did have grant income as well as interest expense on the bond. So you had non-operating revenue of $20,000. So for the year ended June 30th, 2017, your change in net position was a negative $18,000. Any questions?
Brent, we won't get this.
Nope.
Okay, the next is the cash flow statement, which again, I won't review. The rest of the audit report, even though it's nice and thick, what this is all the footnotes to the financial statements. Obviously, I'm not going to read that to you. It kind of gives you the details of what we just went over. The bond payments, the pension liability is probably the biggest footnote part of it. And then if we go all the way back to the compliance section, which is about page 58, again, it's going to be the next page. It's not numbered because it's a letter, but it's on our letterhead. This is the independent auditor's report on internal control and over financial reporting and compliance and other matters. As part of our audit, we're required to test compliance and internal controls. This year, we had two internal control findings and a compliance finding that we reference in this report. And then if you flip to page 60, we'll show you the financial statement findings. Finding number 2017-1 is one that we have cited the town for several years now, and that is the not having an employee capable or engaging a third party who is capable or qualified to apply GAAP to these financial statements. This is, I hate to say, a normal finding, but this finding occurs a lot in smaller municipalities or smaller governments just because of the nature of the size of the entity.
Not to interrupt you, but every year that I've been here,
yes, every year that we've done the audit, we've put it in there.
Even prior, we did.
Yeah. The next finding, 2017-2, is regarding the fine issue and the fact that there was not an effective structure of internal control in place and functioning to prevent or detect or correct material misstatements. And then finding number 2017.3, that is strictly because the audit report was not submitted by December 31st. You guys did get an extension from the legislative auditor. They were well aware of the financial statement, the reason why it was delayed. They just, because it was not submitted, they will always require
a finding. So is that common practice? If you missed that date,
even though
you had an approval?
Yes, the approval keeps you off the non-compliance list,
okay,
which the non-compliance list stops all state funding. So the extension keeps you off of that list, but you still have to cite the failure to timely file because it is a violation of the statutes. And that's the first time ever that has happened here, as you know. So, and it was an extenuating circumstance. Other than that, that is the audit report in a nutshell. The last couple pages are the town's response, the corrective action plan that the mayor drafted and we included in the report.
Any questions from the council? Audit firm? Me? Tom, we have to approve this, right?
It's already issued.
Yeah. It's been issued by the legislative auditor. Just one comment from me. Blaine and I have worked diligently to make sure we have all the controls in place that we need to take care of that second item. So we feel very comfortable with what we have. Don't see it happening again. I'll never say never, but I don't see it happening again. So, any other questions? Do I have a motion to accept the 2017 June 30th year-end audit, annual audit?
I move.
Moved by Mr. Niesler.
Second.
Second by Mr. Andre. Do we need roll call on that, Tom?
Probably good.
Any comment from the council? Any comment from the audience?
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, the legislative auditor might take care of that. I don't know. We hope not to find that.
What was the question?
What happens if there's a repeat of one of the findings. Now, we have, and maybe you can help us with the answer.
It depends on what the finding is.
Okay.
The repeat on the fact that the town does not have the staff necessary to compare gap-based financial statements. That will never
be an issue. That happens every year, so.
Any of the others, failure to timely file, you know, after one or two or three years, they'll make you go in front of Legislative Auditor Advisory Council and have the mayor explain why he doesn't feel he can get his audit report done timely. I've seen that happen a few times with other entities. And then the misappropriation, if you have it again, yeah, they're coming in.
Shame on me if it happens again, I'll tell you that. Yes, sir, Mr. Fish?
You want me to address my question up there?
Yeah, that's fine.
Citizen Kershaw here this time. I just noticed that on the expenses, the audit services were $26,500. I'm sure part of that is the agreed-upon procedures portion of the audit, but I'm just trying to figure out how a town our size has a $26,000 audit bill.
So, I can answer some of that.
Okay, please.
$14,700, I think, is what the audit was. Somewhere in that vicinity. $6,000 was charged for the new agreed-upon procedures. We had to redo some financial statements due to the misappropriations, which cost us another $5,000. So that puts you right around that. We had some travel expense back and forth to the town, something like that. So that's where the number fell in. Just to let you know, Fish, that's the breakdown of the bill that came across. For me to explain to you why it's so high,
So you're saying next year it should be somewhere around 20-ish?
That's, yeah, $5,000 less for sure.
I'm okay answering that if you'd like.
Okay.
The agreed-upon procedures as well went up because we had to come back in and do some additional work and test. So that also, year one, was higher than it will be in future years. Only because this year was the first year and you were learning the procedures and developing them. The next year we know what we're doing. I think the legislative auditor is going to change them a little bit this year, trying to make them less onerous on the municipalities and the towns because they realized that it was a cost issue for everybody, and yet they had no choice.
For what it's worth, I passed around, some other communities have the same issue with that additional $6,000. They don't have the $5,000 issue we have, but the additional $6,000 for the agreed upon procedures. Any other questions from the audience? With that, we'll have a roll call vote.
Councilmember Bourgeois?
Yes.
Councilmember Richard?
Yes.
Councilmember Andre?
Yes.
Councilmember Niesler?
Yes.
Councilmember Daigle?
Yes.
All right, next on the agenda. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you for coming. Next on the agenda, let's see, we have budget to actual. Income showing a little short, but Blaine and I went over that today. I think we're going to be right on target with the income. So, you guys have any questions on that? We also have in your package the March bills. They weren't ready last committee meeting. So they're in your package if you have any questions on the March bills. Which the very first bill is the audit bill, which Chris just brought up, Mr. Fish. Anybody have any questions on that?
No, I'm glad to see our revenues exceed our expenditures on the year to date,
sure.
Even with the purchase of the property and all. It's
right, yeah.
Caught up as we expected it to do.
I think we're looking pretty good so far. Just those couple budget adjustments we talked about, and we'll have that next meeting, more accurate budget adjustments that we'll make. All right, next up, Public Works Committee, 429 and 441, we didn't have that Gwen Street derelict structure update. Yes, ma'am, you want to come on up? Just for the record, before you get going, I took these pictures this morning,
mm-hmm.
of the progress that's been made on, that's
441.
That's 441. 429 is next door.
Correct.
So, okay, if you can give us your update.
My name is Linda Sanders. 441 Gwen Street, we have done a lot of major work on that property. And we still haven't completed, the outside is basically completed, but it's the inside that we see or need to do. the walls need to be put up on in the inside. And for 429 Gwynn Street, you know, when we complete that, because we still coming out of pocket, we can't borrow the money for the, you know, to get it done. We're going to fix that to be a storage. So
you're going to use that as a storage shed next door?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
All right. Does 429 have electricity?
No, it doesn't have any, no water, no electric, no anything.
And then for your house, that's a residence, did y'all redo all the wiring on that?
Yes, 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 ma'am. The house was gutted out, new electric wires, everything.
And I don't have a before picture, but that's a lot better than what it was before.
Right.
Just keep on keeping on, and hopefully by the next meeting, maybe we can get in and take some pictures on the inside and get it all off the derelict buildings list completely.
Yes, sir. So. And while the walls is still not up, I'll take some pictures to let y'all see that the electric wires have been...
Okay, that'd be great.
Okay.
Yeah, either that or you can call Shane, and he can come by and take some pictures for
okay.
us. Okay.
Okay?
Thank you.
We want to put it on
another quarter?
July meeting?
Yeah, another quarter. Council's okay with that?
That would be July the 9th.
I don't have my calendar, so.
I guess.
Let me look real quick. Is that right?
Yep.
Second. Be the July meeting.
Yeah, 2nd and the 9th will be the meeting, yep. Okay.
July 9th?
July 9th.
Okay, thank you.
We'll try to contact you beforehand.
Okay.
And look, if you get it done before, then just let us know. We'll come take some pictures and we'll put it on the agenda and move forward.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you for the update.
All right, thank you.
All right, anything else on the Public Works? Next up, planning and zoning. Consider Marino development. You should have a map in your package. Last minute this afternoon, I also included an email from Roy Wagensback at Owen & White on a couple things from the drainage impact study and their approval minus a few things that need to change.
Yep, so I guess
Wayne,
just
got
to
pointers?
Talk real quick about the drainage impact study as we look at this. So there's just one more comment, and it goes back to the clarification of the 25 versus the 10 discharge. So it was one thing that he wants us to add, looking back at pre and post. So once we get that, we'll finalize the drainage impact study with that additional comment and submit back to them. But I think they approved it, the design as we show here. So once again, these would be our two retention ponds, or dry retention, and utilizing everything flowing back out here, going to the south.
All right, and this is the preliminary plat that was approved by the Planning Commission. This is not the one that was approved by the Planning Commission, correct? This is the one.
Right. This was the one that was approved had 7 lots, right. and this one's reduced now to 6 to include the ponds. That's correct. And the other thing, and I had spoken with Mr. Roy today, the sewer discharge, how we're going to run sewer out this way, out and tie into this manhole, was approved. Now, we do owe him DHH approval and things like that we still have to apply for, but once we get the preliminary approval, we'll continue to move forward. The other thing that he'll want to review is the construction specifications for the sewer, with some of the other issues you guys have had in previous development, so which we'll provide. He said that can come as once we get the DHH approval process. So.
And with that, I'll open the council up. You have any questions on this plan?
Not so much preliminary, but as we move to some construction, one thing I spoke to Mr. Scott about. You know, you got it coming in, it's coming around through Gleason, and then you got the Marino subdivision, and there's a little gap of land there. Tying the water line in from Marino subdivision to this one to make a loop. That way, if something should happen anywhere either in that subdivision or Gleason, or say if the Marinos, say where Paul is right at the beginning, the water gets cut off, you still got a water line going
They can service all of the houses.
Which way you're, I don't know if you, the loop, I guess?
Go from here to here with the water. And tie into the water line on Marion Oak. There's a hydrant just past Danny's house on the right. What that would do, that would make the water make a loop all the way through. And then if at any point service was blocked, broken, we had to fix, you would still have water coming in either way where the residents would have water in their house.
Okay.
I mean, you might go a few days without electricity, but good, potable water.
We would have to get approval to do that because this right now is a separate, so we'd have to get approval from it. Yeah.
Yeah, that property owner out there.
Right. Okay.
So,
well, I'll be honest with you. The parish would prefer us to do that. They would like to do that.
I just think if something bad would happen, you still got a way to provide water.
Okay. No, that's very doable.
And I appreciate Danny for, agreeing a lot.
Okay.
Yep. Do we, anybody in the audience have any questions or comments on this development? Yes, ma'am, we'll come on up.
About the ponds. What kind of ponds are these? Open ponds?
Yep, so they're open. Well, we call them dry retention, so it won't be pond. It'll be a area that'll retain water during a rain event, and then it'll eventually drain out, and it'll be a dry area. So it won't hold water for every day. It'll only have water during a rain event. And that's part of the requirements by the town, is they don't want to have a retention pond. They want it to be dry retention.
You say you're doing a drainage study?
Yes, ma'am. We've done that and submitted it to the town engineers, and they've got a letter today approving it.
Yeah, approving except for what, one or two little things that y'all go
with
it?
Yeah, just some minor clarifications in the wording of the document.
So, make a long story short, the drainage survey that they did fits all of the requirements for the town ordinances.
And it's not going to put any extra water on Gleason or Floyd.
That's correct. That's correct.
I'll bring this up right now. We uncovered something. Shane did, actually. From Gleason, the street at the end of Gleason, it piles up. Where that water drains out, there's a culvert that's collapsed underneath that property right there. So I think that's our problem on Gleason Street. In combination of that with these two retention ponds, I mean, I'm no engineer, but with Roy and them involved, I think we'll see a lot more improvement.
Yeah.
From about the west end of Gleason?
Probably restricted to about a 10-inch.
Yeah, it goes down from, I don't know how big it is, and it's all restricted because it's collapsed. So
how did you find it? How did you find it?
Someone called and said they had a sinkhole in the yard, and we had to go down and look and dig into it, and we got pictures of it where it's all collapsed from the sinkhole in the yard going in. It crosses in between the last house, I'm not sure, Aaron Daniels and whoever's next door right there. So we do have a problem right there. Pretty serious problem. We're going to jump on it pretty quick. So hopefully that will help us out.
Mayor, shouldn't this say preliminary plat and have a date and a place for your signature?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so what you're looking at here is just the layout of it. So the preliminary plat, and I spoke to Shane today about it, we're going to go through that checklist and get everything.
Cool.
He's going to go through that and say this is what we need to have on there. So Shane, I spoke to Shane.
Yeah, Shane told me today that he didn't have the big form
he needed
where he could
big,
run it
right
through his checklist because
okay
he couldn't see it all.
Right.
So
this is just a request for subdivision approval, right?
Right.
Okay, this is not a preliminary plat approval. This is a request for subdivision approval.
Right.
So this subdivision will have 6 lots?
Yes.
And access will be down Margaret, Gleason, Floyd, and into the subdivision?
Floyd and into making the 90 into it, yes. So Gleason is, this is Gleason coming Floyd and then into the subdivision. So what's going to happen is this is this right here is where Floyd stops today. It's going to get extended in 90 into this subdivision. So access will not come from, although Mr. Thomas will own this piece here that runs all the way to East St. Francis, access won't come from it. It'll come from this way.
And any other questions?
Just a comment, Mayor. So this is the first time I've seen the email before the meeting tonight, and I saw where you and Ted had corresponded back and forth. In there, he had a couple of concerns that he wanted addressed, and you assured that you would get the final copy of the drainage impact study. Is there going to be a motion tonight to approve this? Is that where...
Not as a preliminary plat, as a subdivision.
Okay, so then that needs to be contingent upon the drainage impact study addressing these items, for sure.
I agree with that.
Yep, correct.
Yep. All right, any other questions? With that, do we have a motion to accept the subdivision with the Marino property with the corrections on the drainage impact survey?
I move to make a motion to accept it based on receiving the final drainage impact study and final review.
Yep. All right, we have a motion by Mr. Daigle, second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Niesler. Any comments? Any more comments from the audience? Roll call vote, Tom. Let's go ahead and do roll call vote.
Councilmember Richard?
Yes.
Councilmember Andre?
Yes.
Councilmember Niesler?
Yes.
Councilmember Daigle?
Yes.
Councilmember Bourgeois?
Yes.
All right, thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you, Court. All right, next up, Personnel Committee. Consider new hire for Public Works. John Perrault. Shane talked to us at the committee meeting. We want to hire him at $15 an hour full-time. It'll be effective immediately. John's done a great job for us in the last couple weeks. So Shane wants to hire him on full-time. That'll help with our grass cutting, weed eating and stuff that's kind of attacked us since the summer. Since the spring started, if you want to call 40 degrees at night spring, I guess it is. So do I have a motion to accept John Perrault as a full-time employee?
Moved.
Moved by Mr. Andre. Second by Mr. Richard. Any comments from the council? Comments from the audience? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? All right, Recreation Committee? I don't have anything. Police Committee? Nothing. Governmental Affairs? I don't have anything. Consideration of vetoed ordinances? We have none. Hearing and final action on ordinances? Consider ordinance for trailway use, Chapter 20 and Chapter 25, and the Criminal Code. This is to piggyback on the parish ordinance on the levee top trail, saying what's allowed up there, what's not, how they're going to control the people walking up on the levee top trail. The parish adopted it. I think all the municipalities want to adopt it to kind of all for everyone to be on the same page. So Tom drew up the ordinance for us. It's in your package.
Yeah, I just made some minor tweaks to it and added a penalty provision at the end to comply with our ordinance.
And the penalty provision has a max fine up to $500, right?
Well, yeah, it's subject to the general penalty provisions of Chapter 25, which is $500, up to $500. That's our maximum that we were allowed to do. Of course, just saying that's the maximum doesn't mean that we have to do the maximum.
Right. And Rusty, you had a couple questions?
It's mostly editorial, but underneath 20-1A, permitted users and facility hours, there's some conflicting language in my opinion where it begins at however on the second sentence. It tells us that the use of the trailway is to close beginning of nautical twilight unless there is installed lighting. So I understand that. But then the final sentence says usage of the trailway system after nautical light is hereby prohibited. So if it's prohibited, then the language should change to say unless the lighting is installed.
Well, let me get back to what the mayor said. This is West Baton Rouge's ordinance.
Understood.
To the extent that we deviate from their ordinance, then we're creating a conflict or the gap between where our boundary exists and the parish boundary is with respect to usage of it, which will make it difficult for our officers to enforce. It's something that we should point out to the parish and We could, let me ask, let me just say this. Y'all can do whatever you want, okay? But, you know, to the extent that we deviate from what they've done, if, for example, we say, hey, we don't care, you can use it, you know, 24 hours a day, just understand that, you know, Parish may be enforcing something different past our boundary than we do.
Well, and
which is, I'm sorry, Mayor.
No.
Which was really my second point, was that it doesn't define the hours if the lights are installed. So I think that if the parish do this, I just think there's some inconsistencies, and we're not deviating, but we're merely clarifying. And that's the key. And I think there needs to be some clarification.
I like it. So you're saying in the last sentence says, usage of trailway system after nautical twilight begins is hereby prohibited unless lighted?
They don't have any light. They don't have any lights on it now.
No, not at all.
Okay, so right now, then it is
prohibited
after nautical twilight.
But suppose we get lights.
Then we have to go back and change it.
So,
yeah.
Did the parish pass?
Then the parish will have to go back and change it, you know?
But I'm sure this was copied from somewhere. I agree with Rusty 100% that it's confusing, conflicting language.
Yeah.
I think I know what the intent was, but I don't think the intent is specified what this says. So I'm going to bring this back up to them and see what we need to do. But I agree with you 100%.
Thank you very much. And then my second comment is underneath paragraph A, it begins with only dogs allowed leash requirements. To me, this should be bold fonted. And I know that seems like minutia, but it starts out as a fragment and it just doesn't flow with anything. Then it goes on to further clarify what they mean there, that you should, you know, only dogs. But I think this should be bold fonted, correct?
Well, actually, if you want to go even further than that, it should probably be B.
Yeah, another one should be C.
So let me go back to A. How do you want to change that so I can be sure to...
I'll give you that.
We need to do it now.
We can do it now.
Okay.
And we'll pass it with it on there.
Okay, so basically, we would strike through where it begins with, however, all trailways facilities close at the beginning of nautical twilight hours unless, or you can keep the unless, excuse me, let me back up. You begin at, however, all trailway facilities close at the beginning of nautical twilight.
Period?
You would scratch through that. And then the last sentence where it says, uses of the trailway system after nautical twilight begins is hereby prohibited, then you would pick up that unless there is installed West Baton Rouge Parish operated and functional trailway light.
Yep.
Yeah.
That would be the one sentence.
Yeah.
Now,
but that begs the next question is, when does it stop?
Exactly. So there needs to be, in my opinion, which I think Fish recognized as well, if we're going to say it can be used after hours, if it's lighted, there still needs to be some criteria for that. Is it set at 10 o'clock? Is it 9 o'clock? Is it 8 o'clock? I don't know.
Well, we could just say that if you want to just say usage is hereby prohibited unless... it was installed West Baton Rouge Parish operated functional trailway lighting, in which event usage is permitted only so long as the lighting is on. Because obviously the West Baton Rouge Parish is going to operate it.
Not necessarily. They may kick on at night, right, and stay on all night. So do you want them up there, people up there at 2 in the morning, or do you put hours on it? And I think that's going to be something the parish does when and if lights ever come.
Has to address that.
Right? So I like Rusty's idea where we just say you can't use it unless the parish installs lights. I got a feeling if the parish installs lights, they're going to set hours at that time.
Hours shall be regulated by the parish.
But right now, there's no reason to set hours because the bottom line is you're setting hours here at twilight, right? So, I mean, I like the way Rusty said it with flipping it around.
Well, we're going to have to change it if they install lights anyway.
That's
so
right.
Why don't we just say usage after nautical twilight is hereby prohibited and forget about the lighting?
I tell you what, ask anybody walking up there what nautical twilight is.
Yeah.
You get $100, you will go home with all your money.
Yeah, I mean, I like Rusty's idea. We can just switch that around. Y'all good with that?
Yes.
Any comments from the audience?
Shouldn't that be discussed in a committee meeting or something before it brings up the voting?
Not necessarily.
Why we have hearing and final act.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we can change it. What we try to do is stay consistent with what the parish had, to keep the trail system consistent throughout the parish. So we just took, other than a few things that we added, like the criminal code piece, we just took what the parish passed and created our ordinance, just like what the parish probably did when they created their ordinance.
In retrospect, I wish we would have just done it without regard to the lights. So at the time, we were discussing trying to get the light, so we probably tried to put that in there. I wish we could just wrote the ordinance without the lights in it at all, and put the dark and twilight in there. And then, if we got lights, then we would have been the order. But that didn't happen, so.
So how do you agree then?
Let's see. Rusty, you want to say it again? Go ahead.
It would begin, usage of the trailway system after nautical twilight begins is hereby prohibited unless there is installed West Baton Rouge Parish operated and functional trailway lane.
And you take out, however, all facilities closed at twilight? There you go.
Do you have signs posted?
Yeah, eventually.
And we have no lights now?
No lights now.
Why are we worried about it now?
That's what we're doing. We're just going to say no. Yep. If the lights come, we can adjust the ordinance. Any other comments from the council?
The next paragraph does need to begin with B.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Bold font as
yep.
well.
Yep, bold font that and put that in there.
Just make everything CD.
Yep.
Make that
CD.
Does it change?
Correct. Yeah.
Yep, D and E. Yep.
So the others, yeah, got it.
Yep.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Rusty. Do we have a motion to accept?
Well, and then you got chapter 25 that I changed to. It's that one provision, one paragraph in section 25. One.
Let me read it real quick.
No, we just previously we had riding and hauling on the levee was just fined by not more than $50 or not more than 30 days. And I just said.
Yeah, we matched it to 25.
Yeah, we just went to
the matched 25.
General penalty provision.
If we pass these two together, we're going to need to do two separate.
No, they're all in one ordinance. I just wanted to point out to you that we're dealing with two different chapters in this.
All right, do we have a motion to approve the ordinance?
I move we approve the ordinance with the change suggested by Councilman.
I've got a motion by Mr. Andre.
I second.
Second by Mr. Richard. We need a public hearing, so we'll open up a public hearing. Any comments from the audience?
Just send me a copy of it.
Okay. All right, we'll close the public hearing. We'll roll call vote.
Councilmember Andre?
Yes.
Councilmember Niesler?
Yeah.
Councilmember Daigle?
Yes.
Councilmember Bourgeois?
Yes.
Councilmember Richard?
Yes.
All right, motion passed. We'll get you a copy, Mr. Kershaw.
Thank you.
Introduction of ordinances. We have to do a budget adjustment every year around this time. So we have to introduce. Oh, I skipped one? No, we're good there.
No, you're
So anyway, we need to do a ordinance for a budget adjustment for the town. So we need someone, if you don't mind. Mr. Andre introduced a budget adjustment ordinance for the town for the 2017-2018 fiscal year. We will also need a budget adjustment for the sewer.
I'll do that.
Adjustment by Ms. Bourgeois. The ordinance for the budget adjustment for the town sewer, 2017-18 fiscal year. We'll take care of those budget adjustments. Next up, ordinance for updates on the zoning maps. Our zoning maps had the wrong north border. So
I'll introduce that.
So we have to introduce an ordinance on that. So Mr. Niesler will introduce that ordinance. Anything else on the, anybody has any more ordinances to introduce? That's a bunch. All right, let's see, resolutions and commendations. As you know, we lost a pillar in our community. I'll try to read through this. Mr. Rod Prejean, Mayor and Council Member. His family's all here. Chuck, Deborah, Ronnie, Gordon, Brian, Shell, Miss Bev, Michael. There, Michael's on the back row. I think that's everybody. Everybody's here. We thought it would be pertinent to have a resolution. So I'm going to read the resolution out loud. Resolution number 2 of 2018, resolution by the Mayor and Brule Town Council honoring the late Charles Rodney Rod Prejean Sr. Whereas Charles Rodney Rod Prejean Sr. honorably served the town of Bruley as alderman for 12 years from 1968 to 1980 and as mayor for over 8 years from July 1st, 1980 to December 31st, 1988. And whereas during his tenure as mayor of the town of Bruley, Charles Rodney Rod Prejean Sr. also served 5 years on the executive board of the Louisiana Municipal Association, including a year as LMA president during 87 and 88. And whereas during his tenure as mayor of the town of Bruley, Charles Rodney Rod Prejean Sr. spearheaded the financing, planning, and construction of the town's sewer and wastewater treatment system, resulting in a vast improvement in the quality of life for the citizens of the town of Bruley. And whereas during his tenure as mayor of the town of Bruley, Charles Rodney Rod Prejean Sr. worked with the Bruley Volunteer Fire Department to greatly improve the town's fire protection rating. And whereas during his tenure as mayor of the town of Bruley, Charles Rodney Rod Prejean Sr. worked with the West Baton Rouge Parish Recreation and Parks Department to accomplish the construction of 3 complete baseball fields with bleachers and fences at Landon Alexander Park. And whereas during his tenure as mayor of the town of Bruley, Charles Rodney Rod Prejean Sr. worked for the West Baton Rouge Parish Police Jury, worked with the West Baton Rouge Parish Police Jury to extend parish-wide garbage collection to the town of Bruley, resulting in improved service and cost savings to the citizens of the town of Bruley. And whereas during his tenure as mayor of the town of Bruley, Charles Rodney Rod Prejean Sr. worked with the West Baton Rouge Parish Police Jury to secure a more equitable share of parish sales tax receipts for the town of Bruley and was instrumental in greatly increasing insurance licensing fees for the town of Bruley, both of which initiative vastly improved the financial stability of the town of Bruley, resulting in permanent benefits to the citizens of the town of Bruley. And whereas, through his many years of dedicated and selfless public service to the town of Bruley, Charles Rodney Rod Prejean Sr. has reflected distinct credit upon the town of Bruley, the parish of West Baton Rouge, and the state of Louisiana. Be it resolved that the town council of the town of Bruley and Mayor Scott Rhodes wish to express our gratitude and appreciation for the many contributions which the late Charles Rod Prejean has made to the town of Bruley, the parish of West Baton Rouge, and the state of Louisiana through his years of service. But with that, I'm sorry, I'm an emotional guy. Mr. Rod meant a lot to me. So with that, do we have a motion?
Move.
Approve the rest?
Second.
Motion by Mr. Andre, second by Ms. Bourgeois. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? The ayes have it. Thank you all. That's Ms. Bev, Ms. Rod's wife, Ms. Bev. Chuck, right there, raise your hand when I call your name. Michelle, Brian, Deborah's husband, Ronnie, Mike, way in the back, Barton on the corner. Thank you, guys. Once this is signed, we'll get it framed up for you, and I'll get a copy for y'all. Okay?
Thank you.
We really appreciate y'all coming tonight. It means a lot. He would appreciate that too. All right. Let's see. We're on alcohol awareness proclamation. Anatole, you want to step up and tell us what this is about? Somebody? All right. I'll try to read the next one without getting emotional.
I don't know who the mayor was behind Mr. Ride, but I guess I know what it feels like coming behind Mr. Ride. That's some shoes you just can't feel, for sure. I'd like to say one thing about Mr. Ride, too. I apologize. I was out this weekend and I couldn't make it, but I treasure those moments that we cook side by side every year at the Feast on the Levee, and I always remember that time with Mr. Ride. We have West Baton Rouge Healthy Community Coalition. I'm fortunate enough to be a chairman of the board. It's made up of 12 sectors from our community. It's a federal grant. We've faith-based community. I was actually youth or No, I'm the chairman. I'm the chairman, but the reason I came on is a member, and it was one of those meetings where our chairman was stepping down, and it was like, who's going to chair the board now? And I actually was scratching the back of my head, and they were like, oh, you got it now. So I've been the chair for four or five years now, and for I guess the first couple of years, we're kind of, you know, not spinning our wheels, but really didn't know what direction we were going with this. And then over the last two or three years, Tody to the right of me, and along with our youth sector, has really took this thing and gone forward with it. We have three of our youth sector that are here tonight. They've been through conferences. They've been to D.C. I'm going to let Tody come up and say a little bit more about it, because she really is the nuts and bolts of our organization. She is our coalition coordinator, and without her, we wouldn't be able to do any of this. Like I said, I run the meetings, and I'm able to help when I can, but these three people right here and Tody are what we are about, and they get it done for our community. So I'll let Tody say a few words about what we do.
Thank you, sir.
Good afternoon. Or good evening. Thank you all for having us. I'm Tody Milstead with the West Baton Rouge Healthy Community Coalition. I'm the project coordinator. We are made up of 12 sectors. We have a grant from the Office of National Drug Control Policy out of Washington, D.C., and we work strictly with them. What we're here for is to ask for the proclamation for Alcohol Awareness Month. We try to prevent from middle school, from 18 years and younger, drug use, abuse, and any substance abuse. I'm sure all of us here in this room, we know someone who we have lost a life to, someone that we know that's been affected. So what we've done is we work with our congressman, and we have also our president, our vice president, and everyone here in the parish, the schools. We work with media, and we try to prevent the substance at an early age. I'm from Irwinville, but I know I am West Baton Rouge Parish proud. My kids have grown up here, and all we're trying to do is just to save a life and make an impact. And we also like to give back to the community. So what we do is we help the chamber, we help at ribbon ceremonies, we go to the middle schools, we teach the middle students at a younger age, we let them play ball, we have Christmas outreach, and all we're trying to do is just help bring awareness and prevention at an earlier age, so that way we can all work together. We work with our law enforcement. Our chief has been back there a lot to help us, and just to prevent anyone from losing someone, perhaps at an earlier age.
Great.
We just want to have a healthier environment.
Great.
That's it.
Can your students introduce themselves and where they go to school?
My name is Jonathan Veal. I go to Brule High School, sophomore.
My name is Jasmine Domain, and I go to Port Allen High. I'm a freshman.
And I am Maya Petrie. I go to Brule High, and I'm a senior this year.
Awesome. Great. And with that, they asked us to approve a proclamation. I guess I can read this, huh? We can vote through it real fast. Is this the official one? All right, let's see. I'm going to read this proclamation real quick. Whereas excessive drinking is responsible for 4,300 deaths among underage youth each year, and alcohol is the most commonly used addictive substance in the United States, and whereas one in every 12 adults suffer from alcohol abuse or dependence, and whereas more than half of all adults have a family history of alcoholism or problem drinking, and whereas graduation is around the corner, the Brule Town Council is partnering up with West Baton Rouge Healthy Community Coalition and DFC Youth Leadership, West Baton Rouge Students Against Destructive Decision, Addis Town Council, Port Allen Town Council, West Baton Rouge Parish Council, West Baton Rouge Parish Schools, West Baton Rouge Parish Law Enforcement, and the National Council on Alcohol and Drug Dependence in this endeavor. And whereas 100,000 persons die each year from alcohol-related causes, drinking and driving crashes, other accidents, falls, fires, alcohol-related homicides and suicides, and more than 7 million children live in a household where at least one parent is dependent on or has abused alcohol. And whereas alcohol is a primary factor in the four leading causes of death for young people ages 10 to 21, and young people who begin drinking before age 15 are four times more likely to develop alcohol dependence than those who begin drinking at age 21. And whereas alcohol-related problems cost America $224,746 a person, and lost productivity, absenteeism, health care costs, crime, and family-related problems. And whereas kids who drink are more likely to be victims of violent crimes, are more likely to be in alcohol-related traffic crashes, and have more school-related problems. And whereas kids who have conversations with their parents and learn a lot about alcohol and drugs or drug use are 50% or less likely to use alcohol and drugs than those who don't have conversations. Now, I therefore, Scott Rhodes, Mayor of the Town of Brule, Parish of West Baton Rouge, do hereby proclaim the month of April 2018 Alcohol Awareness Month and call upon all citizens, parents, governmental agencies, churches, public and private institutions, businesses, health care providers, schools to support and participate that will provide early education about alcoholism and addiction and increase community awareness and prevention of underage drinking and high-risk driving for youth and adults and for individuals and families coping with alcohol addiction. Through these efforts, together we can provide hope, help, and healing in our community who are facing challenges with alcohol abuse, with alcohol use, abuse, and addiction. Alcohol Awareness Month. The Town of Brule and Council urge all citizens to support efforts that will reduce stigma, increase community awareness, and increase support for individuals and families coping with alcoholism. So that's the proclamation, and we're going to go ahead and sign it. Sign that right here.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
There we go. Thank you, sir. Oh, picture. Okay.
Tom, do we need to vote on that?
Just proclamation.
No pen.
Come on.
We're just holding it. Say there was.
Got it? All right. There we go. Thank you.
Thank you.
And that was proclamation, so we're good, right? All right, next up, police department. No report?
One of them coming around.
Sneaking around the back?
There he is.
Good evening. All right, for the month of March, we had 7 calls for service for alarms, 5 arrest warrants, assisted other agencies twice, 4 civil complaints, 7 miscellaneous complaints, 4 disturbances, 2 public assists, 20 vehicle tows for no insurance, 8 crash reports, 3 suspicious persons or vehicles, 3 medical calls, 1 unlock, 10 traffic complaints, 1 battery, 1 harassing phone calls, 1 animals at large, 4 thefts have been solved, 1 natural death, 1 terrorizing, which is a threat made at Brule High School, also solved. And 1 missing person for a total of 77 complaints, 302 citations, and 407 violations.
Constitutes a traffic.
I'm sorry?
What constitutes a traffic complaint?
People speeding on residential streets and whatnot.
And getting a phone. Y'all get a phone call.
Oh, yeah. quite regular. But it's just not always warranted.
Did Garrett finish his post-training yet?
He graduates tomorrow.
Yes, graduates tomorrow morning, 10 a.m.
So. Jonathan, you going?
Yes, sir.
Okay, good. I was going to try to go, but I can't make it. So,
thank you,
Tom.
Thank you.
No correspondence. Mayor's report. I have a couple things. I met with Perry Franklin, who's kind of the spearhead of these traffic meetings that we're having. We're going to have a traffic meeting in June, and he just kind of wanted to get an idea of what we're talking about. And this traffic meeting in June is step 2 in a 4-step process, I think, to widen I-10 from 415 to Essen Lane. So that's the next step in the process of the traffic situation. Has nothing to do with Intercoastal, LA1, it's all about widening the project, what exits are going to open and close. So anyway, that meeting will come up in June. So we're starting early to let everybody know, and we'll Facebook page it and website it, and everybody will know about that. So I met with Perry today. He just wanted some ideas on where to have the meeting and
when. Yes, sir. Is he willing to come and speak before?
Absolutely. I'm pretty sure he is. He doesn't have a lot of answers. He's more of the coordinator, and he's coordinating the studies and all that, and he puts up meetings together, wants to know what kind of maps he needs. So he doesn't have the answers. He can kind of give you the ideas of what's on the maps, which is what he gave me today. But he doesn't have the answers like Secretary Wilson from DOTD would, so.
He's a paid consultant.
Yeah.
Another.
All right, and with, so anything else? I don't think I want anything else on traffic survey. Survey crew. We had a survey crew at St. Francis today.
Saw them
today? So finally they're breaking out that survey crew on the Joliet Trail. So they're working St. Francis to give us some ideas on where to put that sidewalk. So I did talk to those guys today. So I don't have anything else in the mayor's report. Remarks of personal privilege, anybody? Yes, sir?
Thank y'all for taking care of River Road yesterday. That we got what's good, so I guess I might be a new employee.
Yeah, it was time, wasn't it?
Hey, whenever, as long as I'm going to do it, no matter.
Anybody else? Yes, sir?
First about Mr. Rye. You know, he did a lot of great things, but what people don't realize is he's still helping us. You know, when you look at that audit report and you see $3 million in the bank, there's not a lot of towns this size. It's got $3 million cash and can go do anything they want to do to fix the town. You know, you hear us talking about drainage and the size of the houses and water, but you never hear us ask about sewer. You know, he built a sewer 33 years ago that hadn't reached capacity for a town that has probably doubled in size. It takes a lot of foresight, a lot of hard work. You know, probably the only thing they screwed up around here was they didn't let him build a bridge. Because we probably wouldn't have the traffic. But, you know, people talk about leaving a legacy. You know, he makes our job very easy right now because we don't have to worry about sewer problems. We don't have to worry about money, you know. He set a path for the town that just constantly improved. Can't thank him enough. And second thing is the drawings. We ask a lot of unnecessary questions for subdivision approval drawings. They serve a couple purposes. One, they ease a lot of people's tensions. And two, the people that's got to do the developing, you're putting them one step ahead for the next set they got to bring us and maybe eliminate the need to delay votes or to cause a lot of angst between you and the developer or you and the community about building something nice. So the more questions and the more things we get to do up front is better.
Anybody else? Mr. Don? Anybody else? All right, announcements. We have the Relay for Life will be at Brule High Track Friday, April 13th from 5 to 10. I have no idea if that's nighttime, daytime, according to that ordinance, but it's 5 to 10 and we will have lights.
Nautical twilight.
Is that nautical twilight? We don't know, Shane. Next is Landmark and Heritage Meeting will be Monday, April 16th at 6:30. And with that, do I have a motion adjourned?
Move.
Moved by Mr. Shane. Second by Mr. Reshort. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Ayes have it.
Sure you brought your...